Perhaps maybe it is that you've never read the Bible for yourself. Opportunity is afforded you to or perhaps begin. An introduction would be a good one would be Mark's Gospel, an extract from the Bible, give you a summary of what the entire Bible is all about. It begins this way, the beginning of the Gospel, good news that is, of Jesus Christ. And that, of course, or rather who, is what the entire Bible is about. Not a religion, an institution, but a person, the person of God's Son, Jesus Christ. Yours to take, it's freely offered to you, without charge, without obligation to you. Take and do with it what you will, but it's an opportunity to get first-hand information as to what the Bible does actually say. People come to me and they tell me that the Bible says thus and thus, and I know that it doesn't, and what they are simply doing is repeating what they've heard other people say. Well, if salvation, if redemption, if your forgiveness, and even, yes, ultimately, God's judgment, accountability that we all face sooner or later, hangs upon what God says in this book, in His Word, then surely you need to depend upon first-hand knowledge and not just simply hearsay, what your peers, what you hear your friends saying the Bible says when it doesn't. So, as I say, yours for the taking, yours for the reading. Who knows, perhaps maybe you'll get some surprises for you to begin to read the Bible for yourself. It answers a lot of questions, not all questions, but the ultimate ones, the ones that are important, it does answer. Sometimes, of course, you do have to search for the answers. They don't all just lie on the surface. You know, if you're a gold digger, if you're a gold miner, well, you would know that you don't find treasure like gold simply lying on the surface. You have to make some effort. You have to dig deep in order to find the treasure. And of course, well, it is no different regarding the treasures of God's heavenly kingdom. You have to search, you have to dig, and sometimes very deep in order to get to the treasure. But of course, in discovering it, in finding it, well, you find treasure that is just, out of this world, as we say. Bible poses the question, who can ascend up into God's holy hill, that is, into His presence? And the Bible answers that question quite plainly. Those who are of a clean heart and of clean hands. Not necessarily those who are of a religious bent. Not necessarily those who are respectable, righteous in their own eyes. But those whose hearts have been washed and made clean and those whose hands are clean. Well, I ask you, is there a person in Stafford this afternoon who would care to testify that that is their state and condition, that their hearts are pure before God, their hands are clean, they've nothing to account for, no misdeeds, no sins, no transgressions, all is well between you and God? Well, the Bible speaks about righteousness, and it speaks about those who, because of their unrighteous deeds, gives us a catalogue which is just merely a summary of those who are excluded from God's kingdom because of their unrighteousness. Unrighteousness, of course, is, well, another word for ungodly. And of course, well, the Bible makes it clear that that's each and every one of us, yourself and myself included. There's none righteous, none who does good, says God. Good, that is, in terms of for God's glory. Listen, maybe perhaps you haven't read the Bible today. Allow me to read just a short portion of it for you. None is righteous, no, not one. No one understands, no one seeks for God. All have turned aside, together have become worthless. No one does good, not even one. Their throat is an open grave. They use their tongues to deceive. The venom of asps is under their lips. Their mouth is full of curses and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. In their paths are ruin and misery, and the way of peace they have not known. There is no fear of God before their eyes. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by the works of the law, no human being will be justified in his God's sight, since through the law comes the knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it, the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood, to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he has passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So, you see, people, righteous in and of yourself, well, you might judge yourself to be so, according, that is, to your peers. They say you're okay, you're good to go with us, so you must be good to go. Maybe by your family standards, maybe even by national standards. Government tells you it's good to go, must be good to go. You're righteous, you're okay, you've never been locked up, you've never robbed a bank, you never did drugs, you're respectable, nice semi-detached house, two cars in the driveway, and everybody's happy, everybody's good. Well, that's not the righteousness of God, of course. The righteousness of God has been revealed. You say, how? By being religious, attending a place of worship, obeying certain rules and regulations laid down for you by some religious institution? No, not that either. Not by the works of the law, even, says God. Were you to read God's Ten Commandments, you would see, of course, that you've broken every single one of them, yourself and myself included. But of course, well, you could say, well, I'll backtrack, I'll change my ways, I'll keep those commandments now, every one of them, from this point forward, all the days of my life remaining to me. But of course, what about the past? The past has to be forgiven. You sinned every day of your existence. In fact, the Bible says, from your mother's womb, you have been a sinner all your days. So the past has to be dealt with. So how do you do that? You can't obliterate, you can't change the past, you can't unscramble eggs, you can't undo the sins that you've already committed. But then, of course, were you to try, were you to seek to obey God's commandments from this day forward, well, you try if you like. I mean, try not telling any more lies. Try perhaps go through a day without cursing or swearing or blaspheming God's name. I guarantee you won't get past 12 hours, never mind 24 hours, let alone the remainder of your days left to you. Because you see, there is within us this sinful nature. It's what makes us unrighteous, and it's where the unrighteous deeds come from. Because of that nature within us, we have an incapability of keeping God's commandments, no matter how much we try. But of course, well, you'll know from your childhood days, you know, those times when you promised mum and dad you would be good, you wouldn't do the thing again. But the harder you tried, the worse it got. And so it does, because you see, there is inside of us a bias towards unrighteousness. It's like we can't help ourselves. Lady was saying to me just yesterday up by there in Stoke, she said that she was righteous, she was good to go. Yes, we've all sinned, she said, but as long as your heart's good, you're okay. But that's the trouble, the heart isn't good. You see, all the unrighteousness in the world, where does it come from? Don't fall out the sky. Don't come up out of the earth. God didn't make it. He's not the author of unrighteousness. So where does it come from? We complain about it, don't we? The wars, the famine, the starvation, the slaughter of infant children, and so it goes on. You could drop a whole list. Where does it all come from? Well, Jesus answers that question. He says it's out of the heart of man. That's where it comes from. Thoughts that are unrighteous, and the thoughts then, of course, are translated into actions, unrighteous ones. So as we've just read in the Bible, there's none righteous, no one does good, not one, not a single one. That's God's indictment on the whole human race, not mine. I'm just the messenger. Don't shoot the messenger. I'm just delivering the message as it's been delivered to me. I'm being honest with you. I'm being truthful with you because I love you. And if I tell you the truth, am I your enemy? Because I love you and because I want you to be right with God. I want you to be saved. I want you to be righteous before God. Does that make me your enemy? Well, I hope not. But you see, this unrighteousness within us that translates into unrighteous deeds and actions. Well, first of all, it's because of our nature. We all do it, every single one of us, Christians and non-Christians, religious and non-religious. But religion, you see, that's not the answer either. Because you look at the world religions and we won't single out Islam today, but, you know, all of them the same, you know. You become more unrighteous. Religion is not the answer. If it was, the world would be a different place by now, surely, wouldn't it? Politics ain't the answer. We've had that since day one. That doesn't work. Philosophy, man's thinking, you can't reason your way into God, into righteousness. You see, it's revealed in the Bible. God gives us the simple answer. It's faith in Jesus. Believing in Jesus. Because He is the revealed righteousness of God. He is the only perfect man who ever walked the face of this earth. And because He was perfect, Son of God, sinless, because He was perfect, He was qualified in every which way to be our sin bearer, to take our sin on Himself on the cross. That's why He died on that cross. For ungodly sinners, unrighteous men and women such as you and I, to take the place of the sinner, a transference. He takes what's yours, your unrighteousness, and He gives you what's His righteousness. When you believe in Him, that is. I mean, that's a deal, I tell you, that surpasses anything. He takes not just your unrighteousnesses, but He takes your judgment, your punishment that is due to you because of your sins. He releases you, sets you free, and makes you, establishes you as being righteous before God. And faith is the key. It's by faith and by faith alone, believing, trusting, not in what you do, have done, do, can do, might do. It is established, that righteousness of God, by faith in what Jesus Christ has already done, has already accomplished, in dying on the cross and atoning death. A death, of course, that takes away the wrath and the anger of God against you because of your sin. The blood of Jesus Christ answers to all sin. No matter where you've been, no matter what you've been doing, no matter who you've been sleeping with, no matter you've been doing drugs, it's not about respectability, not a middle class religion for middle class Englanders trying to be good. It's for wretched sinners, the wickedness, the most wicked of you. Yeah, those of you who have been lying in the gutter. He says, from the guttermost to the uttermost. For divorced people, for people with broken marriages, for children who have been abused and haven't been abused, For people who have been indulging in porn, uncleanness of all kinds known to man, and then some more. For the dregs of the world's society, Jesus came for. Alongside him, when he was dying on the cross, they were two, well, they weren't just thieves, one on either side of him. They were what we would call today terrorists. They had been engaged in terrorism and murder. And one of them at the last moment turned to Jesus in faith, believing, this man, he said to his buddy, has done no wrong. We are receiving the just recompense of our unrighteous deeds. Jesus assured him that that very day he would be in paradise with him. You see, people, he hadn't got time to be religious. He hadn't got time to attend church. He was dying on a cross. He hadn't got time to become respectable. He hadn't got time to get money in the bank and buy a nice middle class home. He hadn't got time for none of that junk. He was a terrorist and he was being executed for murder. But he turned to faith in Jesus and he got himself saved before it was too late. How did he do it? By believing, trusting in Jesus for righteousness. That's the only way a person can be righteous. Jesus didn't come to give us a nice, cozy, middle-class lifestyle religion. You know, for nice middle-class dudes, a nice sprinkling of religion on top of it, you know, to make it look even nicer. I think God hates that stuff. I think God abominates that stuff. I didn't come, Jesus said, to call the righteous. I didn't come for these middle class dudes that look down their middle class noses at other people who they deem to be worse than themselves. I didn't come for such self-righteous rubbish as that, says Jesus. I came to call sinners to repentance, to turn them from their unrighteous ways and to make them righteous, to make them shiny and new, to make them beautiful. Jesus is not about making people religious, he's about making people beautiful for God. You want to be beautiful? Well, it's not the Gap shop or Gucci that you need to go to. Nothing to do with the dudes that you're wearing. Nothing to do with the makeup, the foundation, or anything else. Jesus, make your beauty full of beauty. That is the beauty of God's holiness. Righteousness, people, is by faith in Jesus, in the Son of God. That's what he came for, and that's the righteousness that God has revealed. The way of a person becoming righteous, he has revealed in his word, the Bible. And all you don't do is grab hold of it. It's a gift, you see, the Bible tells us. You know, just like Christmas time, somebody offers you a gift. What do? Well, you take it or you reject it. But the most of you take it. Why? Because you don't want to offend the person who's offering the gift to you. So you just take it even if you don't want it. Yeah? But the moment you take it, receive the gift, it becomes yours. It's yours to do with what you want. You can sell it. You can dump it. You can do what you want with it. Yeah? But it becomes yours, yours, and yours alone at the point of reception of the gift. God offers you His Son, Jesus. And you simply and only by the hand of faith, you reach out and you take the gift of God, His Son, Jesus Christ, His revealed righteous. And God, He alters your spiritual bank account. Because you see, it's all in red. You're in debt up to your eyeballs. Debt that you can never, never pay. Never. Were you to live a million years and live to please God, you could never pay the debt. But the moment that you receive Jesus, the righteousness of God, the red ink disappears, and on the other side of the page, in black ink, you are credited with a perfect righteousness. God's righteousness, the perfection of His Son. So He looks down on you, and what does He see? Not your wretched sinfulness and misery. What does He see? He looks and He sees you in His Son, and loves you, treasures you as much as He does His own Son. And believe me, God loves nobody, I tell you, like He loves His Son more than anything else. So don't you be saying to me, people, that God never did nothing for you, because I tell you, He gave you His very best. He gave you His heart in giving you His Son to die on a cross. He wasted His Son on a Roman cross so that you might be made righteous in His sight. That's how much He loved you. That's what He thought of you. You who devalue yourselves, rubbish yourselves. You can't love, you see, until you know the God of love, till you experience His love. You can't even love yourself. You look in the mirror and you devalue and despise yourself. A child, a man, a woman, made in the image of God, and you stand there revolted at yourself. Isn't that the majority of mankind, of Stafford people this afternoon, revolted at yourselves? Huh? But there's a God who loves you. He doesn't devalue you. He priced you at great value at the cost of His Son. God so loved the world, that's what it means, you see. He gave His only Son to die on a cross, to bear the punishment that was due to you and I, to die here, who knew no sin. Jesus, who knew no sin, was made sin on the cross, so that in you believing on Him might be made the righteousness of God in Him. Jesus is the righteousness of God. So to answer our question, our initial question, how does a person get righteous? Well, the Bible and the Bible alone answers that question. Quran don't answer it. It knows nothing about mercy and love, grace and kindness, compassion. It knows nothing of that. The writings of Hinduism, whatever they are, don't tell you about that either. Only the Bible, you see, reveals the righteousness of God and how a person can be made righteous, made beautiful, made lovely. But it begins with faith, people, believing, trusting in God's Son, Jesus Christ. You'll never be righteous without Him. You reject Him, you reject the gift of God, then you reject the righteousness of God. rejecting the Son of God. And then, of course, well, having heard about God's righteousness, well, that makes you even worse than ever you were before, because you see, you don't walk away from Jesus. You don't walk away from the gospel having heard it, thinking to yourself, oh yeah, he was a good bloke, but that's it. Now, people, you either kill him or you crown him. You either kill him afresh, you either crucify him afresh, or you crown him. The very center in the heart of your life. He wants your everything. He gave you his all. He gave up his life that you might be made righteous before God. And so therefore in turn, he wants your all. You to give him your heart, your life, your everything. To trust him and begin to serve him with all of your heart, soul, mind and life. So there is the answer to today's question. How may I be righteous before God? I commend to you the reading of God's word for yourself, the Bible. It's offered to you free of charge, without cost or obligation to you yourself. Yours to take and do with as you will, but it's God's word, and it has the ability to do what I can't do for you, to make you wise, that is, for salvation, which is to be found in Christ and in Christ alone. Jesus is the righteousness of God, the free gift of God. Make you beautiful, make you lovely, make you sweet, make you pleasing to God. Only way a person ever be right with God, believing, trusting in Jesus. Whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord Jesus shall be saved.
Can I speak to them?
Yeah, was that one?
Yeah.
Question,
what's it about? Is he Christian?
Ah, so, but the gospel, how Jesus died for our sins, so we could be saved, forgiven. No. Pure Christian, yeah. There's a phone number on the back there if you need any help. All my details are on there. If you need any help, give me a shout. Okay, have a nice day, sir. God bless you. Thank you. You see, it's that easy, friends. All you got to do is take it out of my hand. Yes, everybody will think you're as daft as I am, but what does that matter, people? It's what God thinks about you that matters. Not what men think about you. Jesus says, fear God, the one who has the ability not only to kill your body, but cast your soul into everlasting flames. Fear God, trust his Son, Jesus. And just like that gentleman took that gospel, I urge you not only to take the word of God away with you, but take the Son of God away with you. The quiet recesses of your own heart. Ask him. Call upon his name. Save me, Lord Jesus. Make me righteous. Yeah. To as many as received him, receive him into your heart. Jesus, the Son of God. Ask him, he says, ask and it shall be given. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. You'd like a copy of God's word, I'm out of here, but you like one, well, come and ask for one. God bless you and have mercy on your unrighteous souls.